little device and trying to make sure it works.
Thinking about it.
Okay. So any questions? Case studies are due today. And then everything else, all your assignments are on Canvas. If you forget dates, stuff, be sure just to look on Canvas, okay? If we don't cover, the last little section in our renal content today is urinary diversions. I think we may get to it, but if we don't, it's just a short amount of notes that I want you guys to be familiar with. I will put them on Canvas, okay? If we don't get to finish them today. Well, I don't know what that means, but it's installing my device. I got myself a little clicker, so I can not have to come over here and click things. Yeah.
So I see a test review, the study guide for, it says exam 4. I don't know if it's meant to say 3 or if it's, I don't see a 3 on Canvas. I'm not really sure. So maybe you can check and just...
So you're saying... Does it say exam? It may just have been typo.
Yeah, it says exam 4.
Which we don't have an exam for.
We have only a final.
Yeah.
So, but it
covers renal. It covers renal.
Does it okay.
Renal? So, okay. Exam 3
okay.
will cover renal and GI.
Okay.
So I'll go back after class, though, and change that on hand.
Yeah, I
just want to probably a typo. Thank you for pointing it out.
Sure.
Yeah, there is no exam 4.
Yeah.
The last little bit of content we have is on female reproductive cancers, breast cancer, a couple others, and that will just only appear on the final exam. Okay. So, see the study?
Test review?
That
was a test review. That's what I'm
Okay. That probably will, that's left over from last semester. That's probably going to change a little bit. This is good GI test review, for example, but I will put a new one up there. So, because renal was not on exam 3 last time. So it's changed, but we've had to change the order of the content. So that, I should not have published that. That's my mistake.
Okay.
That's left over from semester to semester. They'll bring everything over, and then you have to change it. So my mistake. And good for you for looking ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay. But yeah, I'll check that today when I get back to the office to make sure there's no question about it. Is it working? Oh,
yeah,
it's working.
Yay.
Okay. All right, so everybody take a deep breath. Try to let go of the test for a minute. We're going to do our renal content today, and primarily we're going to talk about kidney failure, renal failure, okay? So before we get started, let's have a little physiology review here. I'm going to have this middle row come up to the board. And just tell me everything you can, write down everything you can think of that the kidney does. Come on. Come on. This is not a test. Nobody's going to judge. Okay? This here. Anything you can think, and you guys can yell out answers if you want to. Everything you can think of the kidney does. Okay? There's more markers over here if yours aren't working. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you guys can yell out answers to them, so they don't. What's that?
Right.
Blood pressure.
Blood pressure. You got a blood pressure over here.
Renin.
Okay, let's see what we got, and then we're going to talk about it. Oh, are we weakness, blood pressure, electrolytes, hormones, adrenal medulla. Okay, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Adrenal cortex. I don't know if that's function, but that's part of the kidney physiology. Renin, aldosterone, filter out waste. Okay. Regulate. something and filter out electrolytes. I think that's what that says. Okay, repeat. All right, good. You guys get a lot of them. So we're going to just review, like I said, the physiology just a little bit here. This is a picture of a nephron. And you know the nephron with the glomerulus, that's the functioning, filtering part of the kidney. Okay? The glomerulus is where filtration takes place. All right? There's two types of nephrons. You don't need to remember this. I'm just telling you for information. Two types of nephrons. Cortical nephrons, that's about 80 to 85% of the nephrons, and they're more in the outer part of the cortex of the kidney. And then there's the juxtamedullary nephrons, which are deeper in the cortex of the kidney. Just FYI. But like I said, the glomerulus is going to be the filtering part. They filter, through filtration, about 180 liters per day of filtrate is created. All right, that consists of water, it consists of electrolytes, other small molecules. Along with the glomerulus, you have the loop of Henle. You guys remember loop of Henle? You talk about that with some of your drugs sometimes. You have the loop of Henle, and that's where the either retention or excretion takes place. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Then you have a lot of blood vessels, capillaries surrounding the nephron, surrounding those areas. Those are called the bossa recta. It's just that system of blood vessels, and they actually sense when, like, renal pressure goes down, for example, because perfusion is going down. Okay, so that's that system of capillaries. Blood enters the kidney through the renal artery, right? And then, of course, once the filtrate is made and collected and reabsorbed and whatever, then the ureters leave the kidney to go to the bladder for excretion, right? Okay. So just kind of just review of what we're talking about so we're all speaking the same language here. So like I said, the glomeruli is where filtration takes place. The loop of Henle is where the reabsorption and secretion takes place. In the renal tubules, reabsorption of that 180 liters takes place, which results in about 1 to 2 liters of urine a day. Okay, so it's reabsorbing most of that filtrate. Substances can be reabsorbed through the loop of Henle too. So when you think of the loop of Henle and what's happening with reabsorption, excretion, or secretion, think about, one, the kidneys are regulating water. They're regulating fluid. So that's where that excess water is reabsorbed. Now, what hormone helps regulate the reabsorption of water? That's true, but primarily there's another one.
ADH,
antidiuretic hormone. Where does ADH come from? Yes, posterior pituitary, okay? And it responds to the pressure, you know, the renal pressures within the kidneys, kind of the blood pressure of the kidney, okay? Somebody mentioned aldosterone. What does aldosterone do? What's that hormone do?
Water
through what mechanism? What does it cause reabsorption?
Sodium.
So you're right, though. Where sodium goes, water goes. So that also helps with the fluid balance there. Okay? And then where is it made? The adrenal cortex. Okay? All right. So we have the nephrons regulating water. They're regulating electrolytes. We'll talk more about this as we go along. They also regulate acid-base. How do they do that? What do they can excrete or retain? Bicarb. They can retain bicarb. They can excrete hydrogen ions, okay, that are acidic. So they also help regulate acid-base. You know, you guys studied acid-base in 20, right? And so you remember that there's respiratory regulation,
and there's what they call metabolic regulation, and that's by the kidneys, right? That metabolic piece. All right. The kidneys, as you guys put on the board over there, so you could add acid-base here, you could add fluid. Here it's regulating water, acid-base, electrolytes you already had, okay? Another thing that it does regulate, as you guys put, was blood pressure. And one of the ways it does that is by the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. This is just from your book. Don't get too hung up on the slide there trying to do anything with it, but it's from your book. But so specialized vessels in the kidney, that fossa recta I was talking about, specialized blood vessels in the kidney, constantly monitor that renal perfusion. All right? What's the renal perfusion? If the renal perfusion pressure decreases, right, so you don't have as good a perfusion, then the renal cells secrete renin. Okay? Now, what would cause, let's think about this, what could cause that renal perfusion pressure to go down?
Low blood pressure.
Low blood pressure. Why could you have low blood pressure?
Fluid volume deficit.
What else?
Sepsis.
Yeah, would cause vasodilation.
Mm-hmm. Anaphylaxis.
Anaphylaxis, absolutely.
Medication.
A lot of medications can cause it to go down. If they're causing vasodilation systemically, they can, so like beta blockers, things like that could cause it to go down. If you're bleeding, you know, trauma, that could cause it to go down. So lots of different things. So when those vessels sense low pressure, renin is released. Renin is then converted to angiotensin 1, which then an enzyme in the lung is secreted too that converts angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2, which is a really powerful vasoconstrictor. So what it does is raise that renal perfusion pressure. Does that make sense? It also raises your blood pressure, right? Poor perfusion also results in the release of aldosterone, as you guys kind of mentioned, aldosterone from the adrenal cortex, which also results in elevating the blood pressure. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? Okay. So those are some of the things that kidney does there. Another function, as we've talked about extensively, is the production of erythropoietin. Right? Erythropoietin is a glycoprotein that's released in the kidneys in response to decreased oxygen tension in the kidneys. So if oxygen levels go down, you know, the kidneys aren't sensing there's much oxygen here, they're going to release erythropoietin, which stimulates red blood cell production. Is that good? We're good? Okay. Another thing the kidneys do, which is not as well known, is they convert vitamin D to its active form. They have an enzyme that converts vitamin D that we take in to vitamin D that actually acts in the body. Okay? And that's necessary, as you guys know, to maintain normal calcium balance in the body. Everybody with me? All right. The kidneys also secrete their own
Sorry. Is it vitamin D or E?
D. Does it say E on there? Sorry, typos. I'm very sorry. I'm glad you're asking. It's vitamin D. Okay. I really need to proofread my handouts better, so just keep correcting them, okay? So vitamin D. They also secrete prostaglandins. You don't need to remember what they're called. They're prostaglandin E and prostacyclin, and they vasodilate right in the kidneys themselves. So if the kidneys aren't getting enough blood flow, there's some obstruction, they can secrete these prostaglandins that allow just in the kidneys vasodilation so that the perfusion's better. And as you guys know, when you put up here, they also really take care of waste products in the body. All right? What's one of the biggest waste products they take care of?
Urea.
Yeah, urea. Urea. Now, what is urea? What's urea the byproduct of? Protein metabolism. Yeah, I heard that. Protein metabolism. So, so that's one thing. What's the other one we always measure, the other waste product? Creatinine. Creatinine is a waste product, too, from just normal wear and tear of the skeletal muscle. So kidneys aren't working. That's why you see BUN going up, you see the creatinine going up, because they usually metabolize, excrete those waste products. So, okay? And accumulation of those products in the body can cause harm to a lot of different body systems. Kidneys also excrete a lot of, like, drug metabolites. For instance, where are most of the drugs deactivated or metabolized? In the liver. But they're often excreted in the kidneys. So that's another thing that the kidneys do. All right? So we're going to talk more about all of this as we go along with kidney failure, but if you're thinking about a patient that might have potential kidney failure or potential kidney problems, what might you put look for in terms of history, in terms of signs and symptoms? What would you focus on when you're with your physical assessment? So if you're thinking in terms of history, what are some things you might want to know about your patient? Yeah?
History of diabetes, hypertension.
Yeah, especially those two. Diabetes, hypertension, and we could just add to that just other chronic problems, right? Yeah. Okay? So any chronic long-term problems might affect, but you'll find that these two are kind of the big players in renal failure. Okay? Anything else you'd want to know? Okay, so that might be something you put over here, right? Fluid balance, both signs and symptoms, and part of your physical assessment. Okay? Yeah?
And they have, they require kidney removal.
Okay, so any, like, a transplant or a removal, okay? So any surgery related to kidneys, okay? Somebody, Amanda, did you have one?
I have a question. So if they have a prostate problem, would that affect?
Yes, it will. We can talk about that in a minute. Okay? We're going to cover that, actually. So, yeah. Yeah.
Medications.
Always big deal. Okay? Anything else you can think of as far as history? Yeah?
Urine output, like for a physical assessment?
Yeah, for over here, yeah. Okay? As far as history goes, again, age. We'll talk more about why this is. As you age, every year your functioning nephrons decrease. So age is an important thing. A history of infectious disease. Strep diseases, strep A infections can notoriously harm the kidneys. We'll talk more about that in a minute, okay? So history of infections. We already talked about chronic illness. Any exposure to toxins? This is all part of history. Have they had not only kidney, but any other pelvic surgery? Or have they had radiation to the pelvis area? Have they had any obstetric injuries, in terms of pregnancies and deliveries, things like that? Any obstetric injuries? Have they had any tumors related to that whole urinary, genitourinary area? Okay? As far as signs and symptoms, we talked about, urine output and what the fluid balance looks like, and we'll talk more about how you would be assessing the fluid balance. Any other things you would want to check for sure? Yeah.
Hematuria.
Dysuria. Mm-hmm. So pain with urination. Whoops. Dysuria. Good. What else? Yeah.
Labs.
That's gonna go here. And we'll talk about specific labs in just a second. Yeah.
Flank pain.
So not only dysuria, but pain in the area in general.
All the urea or any urea?
Yeah, that's urine output, right? oliguria, anuria. You guys know what those mean? Oliguria, low urine output, less than 30 an hour. Anuria, no urine output. Okay?
Frequency and urgency?
Yeah, good. Frequency, urgency. So anything related to urination that's changed. Okay? You could look for signs of unexplained anemia. Say it again.
Blood in the urine.
Good. Lots and lots of things. One thing that we don't think about is do they have GI symptoms that are new? The reason we say that is that the bladder and some of the GI tract share innervation. Okay? So sometimes that's part of it. All right? Physical assessment, of course we're going to do a whole head-to-toe assessment, right? But we're going to pay attention to tenderness or enlargement over those flank areas, over the kidney areas. Is there odor, drainage, redness around the urinary meatus, along with any signs they might have reported? We're going to assess for edema, fluid changes, okay? Edema, crackles, shortness of breath, things like that. What do you think is the best indicator of fluid balance in the body, in a person? Good guesses.
Daily weight.
Daily weight is the best indicator of fluid balance. Remember how I've said before when we're talking about nutrition, we weigh weekly usually. When we're talking about fluid, it's a daily weight. On the same scale at the same time. All right? Good. Lots and lots of different diagnostic tests. I'm not going to go over them in detail, okay? But I want to talk a little bit about what are the nursing responsibilities for some of these tests, all right? Clearly, we're going to assess the patient's level of understanding. We can reinforce whatever teaching they've had in language they can understand. That's going to be important. Some of them are going to be apprehensive, especially if there's something invasive that's going to happen, okay? We're going to teach them about any care or precautions following the tests that they need to take. And what kind of allergies might we specifically want to assess for?
Iodine.
Sometimes that's in contrast materials that we use. Latex. And any other instrumentation? Are they allergic to any certain metals? Anything like that? Some things, if you have a more invasive procedure like the cystoscopy, then that's going to require signed consent, signed informed consent. But not all of them will. Okay? If it's an invasive procedure like this, then they probably will. Renal function test may include, they may include, I was looking for where they are up here, urinalysis. They may include specific gravity. Clearly, they're going to include the BUN and creatinine, serum BUN and creatinine that we've talked about, okay? Just lots of different tests that can be done, all right? If you're looking for a tumor, something like that, then they're going to do more of the imaging tests, all right? If they're looking for maybe bladder cancer, then that's when the cystoscopic exam may be done. So again, lots of variety of tests depending on what symptoms the patient is reporting. Okay? All right. After any of these tests, but especially ones using contrast or using instrumentation like this, we're going to monitor the urine intake and output, the urine output specifically, okay, to make sure that they're excreting that contrast and that there's no trauma or disruption from instrumentation. Okay? Everybody good on that? All right. There are some considerations for older patients. I already mentioned one, and that is that glomerular filtration rate, it decreases yearly after the age of 35 or 40. So we have tons of nephrons, plenty to last, but we do start losing them after that age. renal reserve then in the elderly people is more decreased, so there are more at risk for renal failure. Okay. Also, what happens to thirst as you get older?
Decreases.
So that makes them more at risk for fluid volume deficit and for hypernatremia. Also, urinary incontinence increases for a variety of different reasons. We're not going to talk about incontinence in this lecture, but you know, it increases as people get older. Also, depending on their living situation and their mobility, some people may not have a chance to drink as much as they want or to get to the bathroom as often as they want. So they may be retaining urine, they may be incontinent. If they're living in an assisted living situation or if they have very limited mobility where they can't go get their own water to drink, then that may be a problem. So those are all kind of related to older people. All right? So, good so far? All right. So, those are kidneys, if you didn't recognize them then. So, we're going to talk about now, we're going to start with talking about acute kidney injury. And there are three concepts, really, that kind of go along with acute kidney injury. Perfusion, inflammation, and obstruction. You can also think of perfusion as being pre-renal, inflammation as being intrarenal, but let me go over, you know how I tend to keep talking this time, and obstruction being post-renal. So the definition of acute kidney injury is the rapid loss of renal function due to damage to the kidneys. Okay? So we have rapid loss. This is an acute situation. Depending on the severity, it can be life-threatening. One measurable criterion that people use sometimes is there a 50% increase in serum creatinine above the baseline? Does anybody remember what the normal serum creatinine is? I didn't understand it. But it depends on what, you know, it's going to vary a little bit depending on the source, but 0.6 to 1.2 milligrams per deciliter is the, yeah. So if you have a 50% increase over that baseline, then that's one of the criteria they use to say, hey, we have acute kidney injury here. Okay? So I think I'm going to stop there. We're going to talk about causes next, but we only have about 1 minute, so I don't really want to get started on that. So we will be back at 1 o'clock. Okay, I'll see you then. Remember, there are case study folders up here and also the exam review times if you want to do that.